Amen, amen, amen. As you're getting your Bibles and turning to the book of 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Let me state that this week is going to be just a little bit different. And so Tuesday night we will have prayer meeting and that'll be it. So there will be nothing before prayer meeting or after prayer meeting. And I'm really, really looking forward to getting into Bible study number 2. And but this Monday and Tuesday, I have an air conditioning man coming down from Colorado Springs or over from Colorado Springs. And he is going to require my undivided attention since I'm not paying him. So I guess I get to work. And so I'm willing and ready to do that. And so we will be getting back into our Bible studies right after that. And I think that we had a pretty good time Tuesday night. Amen. Learning about our Bible. And looking forward to that, getting into it a little bit further. And does anybody here remember or know what an interpolation is? Amen. I see I did a great job. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, we just touched it very, very quickly and moved on from there and had a few questions after that. We'll expound on that a little bit more this next time that we get to that, talking about an interpolation. Praise God. But today, we just want to forget the interpolations and let's get into 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4, we're going to begin reading at verse number 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, there is no possible way, unless you're ready to stay for 2 or 3 hours, there's no possible way that I will finish here this morning, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I may not do anything with it. I just feel this today. But as this moment, I feel like just kind of taking a couple of Sunday mornings and just doing more of an expository teaching on this particular subject. And I don't know that we'll get the first half covered today, but I see and know and feel that there's about 3 parts to it. And so we just want to talk about an enemy's tactic called fear. Amen. And let's just slow down and let's talk about it here today. Amen. You want to do that today? Praise God. Why don't we just ask the Lord to help us here today? Heavenly Father, open up our hearts here this morning. We are in need of you. We cannot do anything without you, Jesus. We're leaning upon you and we're resting in you, God. And God, for you foresee the things that we fight, the things that we struggle with, the things that we go through. And it's not just these things, oh Lord God, but it is the devices that hell would use against us, oh God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring revelation to us here this morning. I pray, God, that your word would become as water, and water are thirsty souls. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I pray in sweet Holy Ghost that your perfect and divine will would be done and that you would bring forth unto us the culmination, the fulfillment of your desire and your will this morning. Open our eyes, God, to the tactics of the enemy, O Lord Jesus, and help us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And we'll praise you and give you glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you today. You can be seated. Amen. This is something that I have had to deal with on several different bases and the church. It's the signs of the time. It's the end time, and these things are going to come. And we want to be sure that we are conscious and aware of it and that we are not giving in to certain things. Now, fear is an unpleasant emotion. Amen, it is. It is an unpleasant emotion. And that it is caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous likely to cause pain or a threat, and fear is a controlling emotion. It's a very real emotion. I was reading a story about a soldier, and the soldier was acting as if he had no fear, and just kind of running about doing what needed to be done and taking care of business and stuff. And his commanding officer called him over, and he asked him, I forgot what his name was, but I think his last name was Strange. And he said, "Private Strange," he said, "do you not have any fear at all, or are you just stupid?" And he said, "Well, I'd have to plead the second." And I think that a small amount of fear is good. And the reason that I say that is because, number one, it causes us to be cautious in certain areas and not be, as Private Strange, stupid. Amen. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just using the words that he used. And so I believe that caution is necessary. And the Bible speaks of that. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that wisdom abides or lives with caution. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so that is that is good for us to have some caution about some things. Praise God. Amen. But nevertheless, fear is an intimidating factor. Now, this may be just as fast as I go today, and as soon as I say that, then it's not going to be the case. And you're smiling and laughing already, but we just want to talk, and we want to see what God would have, because we are fighting this thing called fear. We are fighting this thing called fear. Amen. Praise God. I believe that there is a pandemic that this world has called some type of virus, but I believe that there is a pandemic of fear that is overrunning this world too. And again, if you would allow me to be able to use the word, it is causing people to respond in totally ignorant ways. And you see things that people are doing that is almost beyond comprehension. And you begin to think to yourself and say, you know what? Have you even thought about what you're doing? Have you even considered what you're doing? Are you even considering what you're thinking? And so fear is overrunning and overruling this world that we are living in today. I would venture to say that a high percentage of people are reacting due to fear than making good, decent, cognizant choices in their life. And this is important for us to understand, because fear is an element. Fear is a weapon that the enemy uses against the people of God. The common theme of the Satanic Bible is no fear. No fear. And it is that you are not to fear anything, but yet fear is used against the church, and it causes and desire the want, or the effect of it is that the church should be afraid of everything. Amen. But I read in my Bible that that's pretty much the opposite, and that God is in control of everything, and that we ought not to be afraid of the individual or for the one that is able to destroy the body, but of him that is able to destroy both the body and the soul. Praise God. Praise God. And so fear is this unpleasant emotion that we do not like to deal with. We do not like to be affected by. Fear causes us to feel vulnerable. It causes us to feel intimidated. And it just causes us to feel in a way that we don't like to feel. Praise the Lord. I remember not too long ago, we were doing an escape room with Sister Sarah's parents. And we were there down deep into the hull of the, what was that called? The Lexington. And down there in the bottom where the sun doesn't shine, and it's just things and whatever knocking on the sides of the boats and everything. And we knew that this escape room was a scary theme. And so being in there, we just all kind of had that feeling that, you know, the very next thing may scare you straight out of your shoes. And so, you know, we got in there and we began to look and we began to search for clues and everything. And we searched carefully because we didn't know, you know, if I pull this drawer, if something's going to go, some loud noise is going to go off or what. And so sure enough, it was at an unexpected moment. And the cause, and so we've kind of had to yell out into this tube. And when whoever it was that yelled out into this tomb, there was a compressed air that just went, and something swung open, you know. And everybody just has that moment of shock and the fear of being there is all that, and it's just not a good feeling that you feel proud of. Never mind. It's just not a feeling that you're proud of, and you know it's coming. You know it's coming. You just don't know where it's at. And we know where this is coming. And so fear is this unpleasant emotion. Fear is this controlling emotion that controls actions. It controls decisions. It controls families. It controls all kinds of things. But fear is this emotion that sets and abides, resides in the mind. And it plays games with your mind. And it causes you to make unrational decisions, quick decisions. It causes you to do things that you would not have done. And whereas the heart is the seat of the emotion, the mind is the control center of the body. Amen. It is the computer of the body. It is the OS. It is the operating system of the body. Amen. And the mind is a powerful, powerful thing. And this is where fear resides. Amen. Fear does not reside in your heart. Amen. Love can reside in your heart. Fear runs and rules in your mind. Amen. And the enemy knows the power of your mind. The enemy knows what he is doing. Amen. He can conquer your heart if he can rule your mind. Amen. He can cause, amen, love to dissipate. He can cause obedience to fail if he can rule by fear in your mind. Think about that. Think about that. Amen. If a spouse is afraid that their spouse is having an affair, amen, then the love that they have will diminish. Praise God. The fear of being tormented in some type of torture chamber causes obedience and allegiances to be broken, amen, because of the fear of the pain that is going to come to the body. Fear is a very prevalent and powerful emotion. And fear resides in that mind. Praise God. Amen. And you've got to be able to conquer that. You've got to be able to overcome that. Amen. And you've got to be able to squelch that, to push that down. The Bible teaches us in the book of Titus, chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Amen. It says that unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Praise God. That's the power of your mind. Amen. You've heard of that book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And it does have merit to it. And we know individuals that are extremely positive in everything that they do, in everything that they face. They are extremely positive. And these are the type of individuals that you want to be as leaders. They're optimistic about all kinds of things. Amen. They're not necessarily pessimists. They're not pessimistic about things. They're not negative. They're not prone to to negative things. And it doesn't matter if the person has been in jail for their entire life and they finally get to breathe fresh air when they step out of a dark dungeon. Amen. And they're there. Amen. The pessimist will say, well, I wonder how long this will last. Amen. And the optimist is going to look and say, you know what? I think they're going to make it this time. But to the pure, all things are pure. It doesn't matter how bad, doesn't matter what's going on in life. It doesn't matter anything. They're going to see, amen, the pureness and the positive things of all of this. Amen. Praise God. But not so with the negative. To the unpure and to the unbelieving. Amen. Amen. To the unpure mind, I can pull a $100 bill out of my pocket if I had one, and I could give it to you. And to the unpure and the unbelieving would say, amen, I wonder what he's trying to do. I wonder what this is for. To the pure, they would say, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But to the unbelieving and to the defiled, they're like, he's got an agenda. He's trying to buy my allegiance. It wouldn't matter, amen, if you are unpure and unbelieving in the mind, amen, it wouldn't matter what I tried to do, amen, I would not be able to influence you because your mind overrules and overrides everything that I would try to do. No matter how good that I try, I could bring you a car full of groceries. I could pay your bills for a month or 3 months. I could do everything within my power, and it does not matter until you conquer that in your mind. Amen. You say, well, I don't know. Amen. If you are unpure and you are unbelieving, if you are defiled, it doesn't matter what the individual tries to do, amen, for you or to you, you will not buy into it. That's the power of your mind, and that's what the Bible teaches us and tells us, that to the pure all things are pure, but to the defiled and them believing is nothing pure, that even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Praise God. Amen. And this is the power, this is the ability that the individual has. Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 7 teaches us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Praise God. As a man thinketh, as a man believeth, as a man thinketh, so is he. Praise God. It doesn't matter. Amen. You can have somebody that's intellectually ignorant, amen, that doesn't know anything, but if they think that they're the greatest thing since Einstein, you're not going to persuade them otherwise. Praise God. Praise God. And if a person has decided and made the decision, that person is no good, then it doesn't matter what the person does, amen, that person is going to be no good. It doesn't matter what their intentions are or anything, they are no good. That is the power of your mind. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows the power that you possess or that is possessed within your mind. And they're going to do that. The enemy is going to do everything that he possibly can in order to obtain the seat of authority, amen, in your mind. And I'm jumping way ahead of myself right now. I'll come back to this here in a moment, amen. But let me just go ahead and give you a little food for thought, for fodder for the future. Praise God, amen. He that controls the throne of your mind dictates the thoughts of your life until he is dethroned. Praise God. He that is in control, he that sits in the authority, he that sits in the throne room of the mind, amen, generates the thoughts until he is dethroned, until he is overthrown. Amen. And the enemy, understanding this, knows that if he can just sit in the seat of the mind, in the seat of that thought process, then he can destroy and he can control every emotion. He can manipulate choices and thought patterns. He can do all of this because that is the power in the mind. Praise God. Amen. The Bible even speaks of this even before we came to Christ. Amen. That the mind had the... This isn't a new thing that just because you come to Christ and that you give your life unto God, amen, that all of a sudden you're going to be fighting something that is in your mind. Paul told him in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust and the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind. Praise God. Amen. He said, fulfilling the desires of the mind. Not necessarily the desires of the heart, but the desires of the mind. What would be the desires of the mind? Amen. Imaginations. Praise God. Imaginations. Things that we begin to imagine. And we begin to fulfill those desires of the mind. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 15. The Bible speaks concerning Jesus after that he had cast out the man that was filled with a legion of devils. And when the people of the city came and they found him, amen, the Bible said that they found him clothed and in his right mind. Amen. I'm just telling you that you're very correct when you begin to think about these people that are out there in the world and thinking to yourself and saying maybe to somebody else, you know what? Are they thinking correctly? Are they in their right mind? No, they're not. They're not thinking correctly. They're not in their right mind. Amen. What would possess a person to spend their entire paycheck on drugs and to listen to the fighting and to the cries of hunger that happens within that house for the next week? Amen. They're not in their right mind. They are out of their mind. They're not thinking right. And this is the power that the enemy has upon individuals. Praise God. I'm telling you today that the enemy does not fight fair. You hear me this morning. The enemy does not fight fair. And he's going to do everything that he can to destroy you. And a lot of these things are not going to... The bitterness is going to get into your heart. The hatred is going to get into your heart. The resentment is going to get into your heart. But the fear is going to reside in your mind. Praise God, praise God. How many people have we talked to that refuse to love again, or they say that they refuse to love again simply because they have been hurt by those that they did love? And they don't want to love anymore. Amen. And that fear that is there, that fear and intimidation that is, that if I give in, if I let the defenses down and I begin to love one more time, then I'm going to be hurt again. And I refuse to be hurt. That's where fear resides, not in your heart, amen, but in your mind. Praise God. Those that have been sexually abused, amen, by peers, by family members, amen, they become reclusive. They become resentful, amen, of different things. And it is the fear that they possess, amen, of being found out, praise God, of these things, these embarrassing and emotional troubles in their life. They're afraid of things being exposed. And so they will not give away their emotions and things again. And there is that fear factor that it's going to happen all again. Amen. There are people that have... very little, my mind just slipped me. I'm going to sue it for, I'm just going to sue it because I forgot what I was suing it for. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, just like that, I must be getting old, huh? Non-support. I'm going to sue it for non-support. Amen. But they have very little self, what's the word I'm looking for? Confidence, esteem. They have very little self-esteem, and they will be very cautious because they're afraid of being laid off. They're afraid of being fired. They're afraid of not doing a good job. They're afraid of coming up short. And so fear rules the mind, and being in that fearful factor, they oftentimes get laid off. They oftentimes, amen, get fired because, amen, of not a accomplishing what they are supposed to, of not producing because of the low self-esteem that they have. And they are ruled by fear and intimidation. And we could go on and on and on about, amen, this fear that is there, that is very, very prevalent in this entire world. Praise God. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 and verses 4 through 7. And Paul writing here, he said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. I'm telling you, amen, that your carnal mind cannot be subject to the laws of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. And therefore, it is of utmost importance that you are able to pull down that mindset. I'm trying very hard not to get ahead of myself here today, amen. But it's not subject to the law of God, amen. Paul said in chapter number 7, I believe it's probably in verse number, I'm just going to say here, probably somewhere around verse number 23, amen, that Paul was writing, and he begins to speak, amen, concerning a war that was going on in his mind, that was warring against the law of his mind. And so there is, and shows us, that your mind is the battleground. It is the place, amen, where the war is waged. It is ground zero, amen, of your body, amen. And the enemy knows that if he can control your thoughts, amen, then he's got you, because when he can control your thoughts, you're going to make wrong decisions. Amen. You're going to be disobedient. Number one, you're not going to love like you need to love. Amen. There's a lot of things that's not going to happen that need to happen in your life because, amen, that your mind controls things. This is why, amen, God wants it in reverse condition, because, oh my Lord, hallelujah, you understand that when the devil controls your mind, he is the programming unit of your entire body, of your future, of your decisions, of your emotions, of all things. He wants to be in control of the control center, the mind, but that's not the way that it is with Jesus Christ. Amen. God wants to be in control of the heart. Amen. I said he wants to be in control of the heart. He wants you to love the Lord your God with all of your soul, your mind, and your strength. And that's why he said perfect love casteth out all fear. Amen. The mind has the ability, amen, to destroy a lot of things, but there is something that trumps that. There's something that trumps fear, and that's perfect love. We're going to get into that in the future somewhere or another. Amen. But you got to love God. You got to have a relationship with God Almighty. Let's love the Lord here today. Praise God. Praise God. Paul writing to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 2, he said that you not be so soon shaken in mind. Amen. Troubled in spirit by word, by letter, by deed. Amen. But he said don't be soon shaken in mind. Praise God. Because that's where the devil's coming to you. He's where he's coming for. He's coming for your mind. Praise God. And he's doing it with the spirit of fear. He's doing it with the spirit of fear. Fear has been the paralyzing factor that the enemy has used throughout all of time, through all of history. Amen. We can go back as far as Goliath. That was nothing but a fear factor. That's all that it was. It was a fear factor. Amen. We could take a look at Elisha's servant when he come out of the tent and he saw that they were surrounded. Amen. He was afraid. He was fearful. Amen. Haman used fear tactics. when it came to promoting and getting his will accomplished. He used fear tactics in this. The three Hebrew children. Amen. Again, it was fear. If you don't fall down and bow down to the music, then you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. It was fear. Daniel into the lion's den was fear, trying to be manipulated by fear. Stephen's death. Amen. In the book of Acts, chapter number 8, Stephen's death tried to strike fear upon the new church. Amen. And then Peter said in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. And that's what that roar is for. That roaring lion, that roar, amen, is a paralyzing factor. Amen. And when that big cat, it's not that the big cat is the strongest, because he's not. He's not. Amen. The Cape Buffalo, I know, you know, it's just who gets the best of who on what day. Sometimes the Cape Buffalo wins, sometimes the lions win. But hardly ever is just the lion by itself going to win. Amen. Praise God. That lion is not stronger and bigger than an elephant. He's not going to get a rhino. You see, it's just that roar. It's that intimidating factor. It's that fear factor that he uses, that he possesses to try to paralyze the prey. Praise the Lord. Amen. Has anybody ever seen a snake eat a mouse? All right. Then you know what I'm talking about. They take those little white mice, those little feeder mice, and they throw them in there with the snake. And very, 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 very seldom does the snake just immediately just... No, he just sits there. And he just kind of may move his head or whatever. He just sits there. And what does that mouse do? Sit there. In sheer panic and fear. And he's over in the corner and you can see his heart beating through his chest. And then slowly, here comes the snake. Just slowly. And that mouse will not do a thing. Just stays there, paralyzed in fear. And the snake has an easy job. It's not like he's chasing him all over and up and down and around and back and forth all through that little cage. No. He just paralyzed him. And that's what fear does. Fear paralyzed the Israelites when Goliath stepped out and said, send me a man to fight. Fear paralyzed, amen, the Israelites, the Hebrews, when they saw Haman's gallows. Fear paralyzed, amen, the Jews that was in the land when the king made a declaration that said, when you hear the sound of the music, fall down and bow. Fear paralyzed most people except for Daniel when the decree was signed not to pray to any other god or to ask of any other god save the king. Fear paralyzed a lot of things. That's the ability that fear has upon the body and the mind. Amen. We can see, and I'm just going to move through this very, very quickly, but we can see that we've been studying and been going through the book of Nehemiah, but we can see where Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem of how that they used fear in order to try to conquer, to deter, and to distract Nehemiah. They told him, they said, come down off of the wall and come over here and let's get away from everything and let's go talk. And Nehemiah knew that they had no good designed and planned for them. Amen. But it was the fear, amen, that they were using to try to intimidate him by that. Amen. They used rumors to try to accomplish fear. Amen. In saying, amen, we know what you're really doing. What you're really doing is that you're trying to rebel against the king and you're getting all of these Jews together and you're going to try to be the king over here. And they used fear in that way. And then they used fear by hired prophets that came and told Nehemiah that this and thus was going to happen as such. And if Nehemiah would have listened because that there was the prophet, then fear would have won out through all of that. But in all, amen, Nehemiah just paid attention to the will of God, the plan of God, and the voice of God in order to be able to overcome, amen, fear. Praise God. We know that That fear has the ability to destroy faith. Praise God. Faith, amen, should be the biggest, the strongest, amen. But fear has the ability to do that. You say, no, no, no. Oh, yes, it does. When I take a look at 12 spies, I see all 12 coming back with a good report. But 10 had a report of fear. Amen. All 12 had a good report. 2 had a report of faith. But 10 had a report of fear. And what happened? Fear won. Praise God. Amen. That was the power of fear. Amen. When we take a look at Gideon's army that went down to the water. Amen. And some lapped like dogs and others cupped it up and drank. But then the next test, amen, he said, all of you that are afraid, just go home. And fear took out more than the water. Praise the Lord. Fear greatly reduced Gideon's army because of that. Amen. I'm short on time here today. Amen. So I'm just going to give you this reference, this scripture reference, and you can go back and look at it, and I'm just going to highlight it. But in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 20, and verses 1 through 8, amen, they talked about going forth unto war. And there was some things that allowed people to get out of war. Amen. He said, if a man has built a new house and has not dedicated it, then he does not have to go. If a man has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it, then he does not have to go. And if a man is betrothed to a wife and hath not taken her, then he does not have to go. He can return home. But the next thing that was there, amen, in verse number 8, he said, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house. Amen. You see, there's a lot of things that may get you out of the warfare for a short period of time. Amen. If you've planted a vineyard and haven't partaken of it, you can stay home this time. But after you have partaken of it, then you're supposed to be, amen, in the war. If you've built a house and haven't dedicated it, you can stay home this time. But next time, you're going to go to war. Amen. But he said that if a man be faint-hearted and fearful, then let him return home. Amen. And it doesn't mean that he has to go next time. Praise God. And that's not a good thing. But I'm going to tell you what he went on to say with this fear. Amen. Because he said it just like this. He said, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Fear has the capacity, the ability, amen, to hinder other people. Fear has the ability to affect others, amen, that are round about. Amen. Don't tell me that when Gideon said, everybody that's fearful, you can go home. Amen. That all of a sudden, everybody in one accord just took a step out and marched on home. Amen. But it was one. It was two or three that got to looking around and said, you know what, this isn't worth it. And they began to walk. And as soon as they began to walk, four or five others began to follow suit. Amen. And then others began to file suit. And before long, you got hundreds and thousands, amen, that are walking away. And it's the same way in the house of God. And that's what I've come to preach to you, amen, today. Amen. That fear has a way of trying to destroy every child of God. Fear will try to separate you from the body. Fear will try to separate you from the pulpit. Fear will try to separate you from your brothers and from your sisters. But fear refuses to go along. Amen. Fear is like a cancer. Amen. That spreads. Fear is even like a sin. Amen. That gets its hold into other people. Hallelujah. Fear has a way of reigning in people's lives. Praise God, praise God. I said today, amen, that fear will cause you to make impromptu decisions. Amen, because that you're afraid of something going to happen. Nothing has even happened. I've seen fear destroy entire churches. I remember one man as he stood up and he said, today will be my last day at the church. And somebody asked him, said, why? And he simply said, I'm afraid of being the last one out. I'm afraid that I'm going to be the
last person to leave. Amen. Fear had destroyed that church one by one. Fear has the ability to destroy somebody. Hey, I'm telling you, your actions do matter. And when you sit on the sideline waiting for somebody else to make an action, waiting for somebody else to make a decision, it affects those that are around you. That's why when the preaching and the word of God comes forth, amen, it's right to stand up and to declare, I'm in this with them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, it does. I'm not just tooting my own horn. I'm trying to help somebody here today because there are people that are looking around because of a fear factor, and they're looking to see how so-and-so responds and how this one responds. Amen. You know what that is? That's the spirit of fear and intimidation. That's the enemy trying to get the best of you. You need to stand in the face of the devil and make a declaration and say, I stand for the word of God. I stand with the prince, with the preaching. I stand with the pulpit. I stand with the man of God. And don't be intimidated and make decisions because of what has not happened.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm amazed, amen, at people who will make decisions, amen, by things that have not happened. They make decisions according to assumptions. And you know what else they do? Amen. They judge everybody, amen, by what somebody else did. By fear. By fear. Praise God. I had a person one time tell me, he said, Pastor, he said, you're just going to have to bear with us. He said, but I'm just telling you right now, we've been hurt by preachers. I said, hey, and I said it instantly. I said, hey, that's no problem whatsoever at all. I know what you're talking about because I've been hurt by saints, so you're going to have to help bear with me. If I got to bear with him because some preacher hurt him, then he has to bear with me because some saint hurt me. No, that's the spirit of fear that wants to, amen, wants to try. Amen. United we stand, divided we fall. And if we keep everybody at a hand's length, amen, away because we're afraid of getting close to somebody. Well, if I get close to them, they may hurt me again. Amen. And the devil is over there pumping his fist saying, that's exactly the way that I like it right there. Fear, 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 fear. Hey, I'm telling you, we need to dig a hole and bury fear. Praise God. You say, well, that's going to make you very, very susceptible. My Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, made himself very susceptible when he came down onto the face of this earth. Amen. He gave himself. The Bible said that he came unto his own, and his own wouldn't have anything to do with him. You don't think that he was afraid of that? You don't think that he was afraid of a cross? You don't think that he was afraid, amen, of the torture that was there? I'm telling you, it was there, but he refused to give in to it. He gave himself so that others might go free.
Well, we may be here a while tonight. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you right now that no preacher is even worth his salt if he wants to hang on to the past about what people have done to him. So you know what? You need to treat that individual kind. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, you sound just like Jesus, right? Not hardly. Not hardly. Anybody that's aspiring into ministry, just throw away your black book and your pen and your pencil. Or you're keeping records of who did what to you. Because you'll never be effective. Never. Never. You will lay down your life again and again and again and again, and people will trample all over the top of it. And laugh and despise and turn around and spit on you. Yep.
I'm speaking from experience. Those that you help the most hurt you the worst. But there is no way that I can be effective by holding, amen, holding you accountable for what somebody else did. I had a man walk up to me with a .45 pistol in his hand and tried to point it straight at me. Long story short, he walked away. I still had to be the man's pastor. The very same man was walking out of my office after accusing me of all kinds of things. And on his way out the office, he grabs the door jamb, turns around, swings back in, looks at me and points at me right in my face. And he said, and they're doing the same thing to you and you don't even understand it. And turned around and stormed off. I still had to be the man's pastor. I had to love him. I had to care for him. I had to pull him up out of the mud. As his spirit was rancid, it was rotten. Why? Because he'd been done wrong by a preacher. That's why. And so he just judged me by everyone. He didn't even know me. As a matter of fact, the first time that I met him was after church one time. His wife, he came in and everybody was already gone. And we sat kind of towards the back and we had some pew chairs and stuff. And so we sat kind of back there at the back and I was introduced to him right there. And so he starts spewing, just starts going off by all this other stuff. And then he turned and looked at me and he said, and they're doing the same thing to you. I was like, excuse me, sir, you don't even know me. You never even met me until, how can you judge and say that I'm going to do the same thing and you don't even know me? But it's the fear factor of it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. I'm telling you right now, the man was probably possessed with devils and I had to be his pastor. I had to help him. I had to love him. And that's the way that Jesus led by an example. And those that treated him wrong, he died for them. Say, well, those that, you know, spit on him, they never got another chance. No, they didn't. But he still died for them. Those that castigated him, that pointed fingers at him, that ridiculed him, that pointed at him and accused him of all kinds of things. Well, he never went back. No, he died for them. He went to the cross for them. Pray for those that have despitefully used you. Forgive them. But all of this is the exact opposite when you turn to fear. Fear says, I'm not doing that again. I'm not giving myself again. I'm not putting myself in that position again. Friend, I have taken deep breaths and stepped into that position again knowing I was fixing to get body slammed. But see, that's the way that the devil wants to work. He wants you to pull away. He wants you to judge, amen, others because of others. He wants you to make decisions, amen, because of something that has happened in the past, amen. And today you hold everything in the future, amen. And you really are the only one that's getting hurt in it again and again and again and again and again. Because you will not let people love you that will love you. You won't let people care for you that will care for you. And in the process of doing that, you're hurting yourself again and again and again. Why? Because this is the way that God designed the church. A twofold cord, a threefold cord is not easily broken. God designed the church to be stronger because of our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. And that when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling weak, when I'm feeling tempted, when I'm feeling vulnerable, there's somebody that I can talk to that's optimistic. You know, here I am dealing with this heavy message and this burden. I've just been burdened this morning, been a heavy message and just walking through all of this. And so I got this weight upon me, and I'm walking through, and I'm shaking everybody's hand, and I go up to Brother Josh. Brother Josh, how are you doing? He smiles from ear to ear, and he says, I'm doing excellent, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Doing great. And I just look at him and smile, and Brother Josh, you made my day. I just had to smile. And smiling just made me feel better. There's nothing to smile about, though, when you're full of fear. And that's the day and the era that we live in. We're so afraid of everything. I've got people in this church that are afraid of me because of things that have happened. I've got people in this church that are afraid of other brothers and sisters because of things that, I'm telling you, the devil doesn't play fair. And being afraid may be a little harsh word. It may be a little bit hard. But I've got people in this church, amen, that are afraid, amen, of giving themselves because that they have been hurt in the past. I've got people in this church that are afraid of a future because of the past. And they'd rather just stalemate and stagnate rather than to venture and to see what else God would have. Afraid of forgiving. And then I've got people that's afraid of the future. Afraid of the end times. You're afraid of loving. You're afraid of giving. You're afraid of committing. And it all stems from the mind. Some things that are extremely true and extremely real. And they have struck fear in your heart. And you will not let it go. You will not venture out. And that's exactly what the devil has intended to do. To stop your progress. Because of fear. And it's like you come back to that moment again and again. And fear stops you. And you recluse back. It's a border that hell has said, don't trespass. And it's put up in your mind. And fear rules. Fear of apocalyptic times. Fear of the end time. Fear of the virus. Fear of the vaccine. Fear of the mark of the beast. Fear of all kinds of things. Jesus said that these things are going to happen, said men's hearts failing them because of fear. Wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. The Delta strain. Hey, while I feel it right here, I just felt it. I just felt it. I'm just going to address it. Some of you need to get off of YouTube and all the other social media, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you cannot handle it. It's a fear factor. Strikes fear into your heart. You get to research and getting to do this. Amen. And you become fearful. I'll just stand, and whether it makes me bigger in your sight or smaller, I really don't care. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of the virus. I'm not afraid of the vaccine. I'm not afraid of any of it. God is in control of my life. My times are in His hands. I'm going to tell you what the Bible does say. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And so I say this totally inclusive. If it's not my time to go, there's no virus that's going to kill me. And if it is my time to go,
some flesh-eating amoeba out of Lake Augusta will kill me when I put my big toe in it or something. But you see what I'm saying? If it's my time to go, it's just going to happen. If it's my time to go, a vaccine ain't going to prevent it. And if it's not my time to go, a vaccine ain't going to is not going to cause it to progress. I'm not going to be foolish and go jump off of a cliff, some 50-foot cliff, and say, hey, if it's not my time to go, then I'll live. No, that's foolishness. That's tempting the Lord your God. I'm going to live smart, but I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not doing it.
Praise the Lord. Well, can I say something else since I'm right here real quick? Some of you won't have a television in your house, but you binge watch YouTube all the time. Just saying. Let's go back to fear, because that's better, huh? I don't want you afraid of me. Hey, but that's the truth. That's the truth. If I brought a big old television and put it in your house, you'd be like, Pastor. Wished I had my phone. We preach against that. Yeah, it's the truth. Amen. Praise God. I can't wait till we go on a social media fast. Maybe we'll do it indefinitely. I had a man tell me one time, because we did. We went on a social media fast. Man came up and told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I'm telling you right now, I'd rather go 7 days without food than give up social media. Like, praise God, babe. Maybe you need to go on another 7 days. I mean, after 3 days of no food, I'm like, I'm dead! Please! Oh. Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, doesn't it? That's the world we live in. Let's stand. Fear. Fear. Intimidation. Fear. Fear. And we're facing enormous amounts of it in this day and age. I'm telling you, I'm not preaching to just one or two people in this church. I'm preaching to a number of you. Some of you, we've had talks. Some of you, we haven't had talks, but you know I'm talking the truth right now. Because some of you are on the verge of making decisions simply because of fear. Fear of the unknown. And you're going to make the wrong decision. And it's going to cost dearly. Because we're manipulated by fear. Don't make decisions when you're afraid of what's going to happen. Unless you want to get right with God and pray through. The altar's open. You can come now. You need to make that decision. You need to be afraid of missing the rapture. I did a quick search, and I just looked up fear not. 63 times from Genesis to Revelations. 63 times the Lord said, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And I'm sure there's different strains, different ways that it was spoken. I just put in fear not 63 times. That just shows me that that was the tactic of the enemy from Genesis to Revelations. Trying to strike fear. Philistines all kinds. And the Lord said, fear not. Fear not. Joshua, fear not. And the list goes on and on and on. Fear not. And today I'm just saying the same thing to you today. Don't let fear manipulate you. Don't let fear cause you to make unwise decisions. Don't let fear cause you to miss out on God, because that you won't, you're afraid to give your life, you're afraid to give your heart, you're afraid to give your emotions, because we'll probably tackle this next week, but that's the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. You need to forget those things which are behind and press forward. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. I'm going to open up these altars here this morning. We need to come. We need to come talk to God. We need to be very open and honest with God today, because there's a lot of things that's bothering us. There's circumstances in your life right now that are bothering you, and they are manipulated by fear, caused by fear. And it's so hard for you to be what you need to be in God, with God, because of fear. And it's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. You say, oh no, it's not. It was real. It was real yesterday. It was real last year. It was real sometime in the past. But that doesn't mean it's real today. It's real today because we refuse to let it die. And that fear affects us today. And that fear affects us tomorrow. And that fear is going to affect you throughout all of eternity, because you are afraid. It's a mind game. It's a mind game. You can overcome it. Come on, you can overcome it. Hallelujah. Oh, let's pray here today.